B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Well, let's get the nuts and bolts from the man who laid it out today in the story in The Athletic. Covers the Sixers for The Athletic. He was part of our big roundtable discussion last week. He is Rich Hoffman, and he's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Rich.
Mike, how are you?
Rich, I'm doing good. Now, I use my eyeballs a lot, right? And the Sixers are better than the Raptors. And I'm not so sure what the Raptors can do to negate that. They're a nice team, but they don't have enough to contend with the Sixers, at least if the Sixers play a semblance of how they played in Game 1. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I do sometimes caution against the Game 1 overreaction because, you know, the last time these two teams played, the Sixers got killed in that first game. And, you know, as we all know, it was a very competitive series. I do wonder if that's the exception to that rule where, I don't know, that was about best case scenario for the Sixers, worst case scenario for the Raptors. And, you know, all the things we talked about, all the, you know, hustle athleticism categories, Sixers won all of them. All the things the Raptors were supposed to be able to do well to overcome that top-end talent deficit, they didn't do any of them. Sixers turned the ball over three times in the game. Embiid and Harden did one turnover. So I do think, like, you know, now adding in that Scottie Barnes is going to be hurt, I do think I agree with you, Mike. Like, I do think this is trending. Look, you have to win tonight. You have no excuse not to win this game tonight. But if you get that one, if as expected you do that, this might be trending towards an easier series than a lot of people, including me, thought at the beginning.
All right, so let's look at the week that was that where they prepped for this series, which I assume was really productive because they did the two things that they had to do. They had to rebound to prevent transition. They had to not turn it over to prevent transition. So how'd they pull that off?
Yeah, I think they just probably watched a couple of those games where it was just embarrassing. They were just giving up offensive rebound after offensive rebound. And, you know, Mike, it was so crazy in that, like, I thought if they could play the Raptors even in those categories, the transition and the rebounding, it's like, all right, they're going to win the game, you know, as long as you don't get killed. It was just so wild in that they completely flipped it on their heads. They killed them in both of those categories. And, you know, I think one of the things, like, Joel Embiid, not a lot of people are talking about his game. He shot 5 of 15 from the field. I thought, you know, from a shot selection standpoint, he wasn't at his best. His touch wasn't there, whatever. I thought he was awesome in that game for the most part. Everything else he did, the passing we talked about. And the other thing, too, like, him just running the floor, that was a huge part of it. That was, you know, him defensive rebounding and then him running the floor in transition. That was why they got out to that lead at the beginning of the game. And the Raptors, they couldn't keep up with him. So I definitely think that week off, you know, we talked about Harden and, you know, could he get his burst back? Embiid got his win back for sure. And you could see that, like, you know, that's why he takes some hats off in the regular season. So he can, you know, he can bring it when it actually matters.
Talk to me about Maxey because, you know, there were some questions about would he be ready for this kind of moment? He answered emphatically and just was just blinding up and down. And he and Harden really had great chemistry. Talk to me about how he puts 38 points up on the board in that game.
So I think the first part of it, one of them is his teammates. Well, one part of it is his teammates. And the Raptors, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit in King of Prussia last week, where, you know, they help a lot. So Embiid and Harden, they see a lot of bodies. They see a lot of eyeballs when they are kind of running their plays, their pick and rolls, all of those things. So basically what those two guys did, they skipped the ball to the opposite corner, again, without turning the ball over ever, and they put Maxey and Tobias Harris in, like, advantage situations, whether that's shooting threes or attacking. So that's part of it. They were put in good situations. And Maxey, I mean, his shooting, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Like, for the Sixers, they never get the guy who comes into the NBA and can't shoot and then develops a shot. They go the opposite way. They have guys who can shoot in college, and then they don't know how to shoot in the NBA. So for this to happen and for him to be, you know, like, his corner three is a 50% shot at this point. So when you have that combination of that shooting plus his speed, I mean, the thing I just always say is just, he is shot out of a cannon. It is unbelievable how fast he is. So when you have the shot, when you had the speed and then his finishing ability, you know, everybody was talking about the amazing pass that Harden threw, that bounce pass through traffic full court. And it was an amazing pass. The finish that Maxey made, though, like left-handed under the basket going 100 miles an hour, that is not an easy play to finish off. And he does that routinely, whether it's that or a floater or kind of a soft shot off the glass. It's a big deal. If he is this potent of a scoring option, they are more in business than we thought.
Pick and roll situations with Harden were interesting to me, with Maxey and Harden.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you have a team like Toronto where we talk about, you know, they have all of these athletes. They ran a ton of those. That was the big thing Doc said that they worked on. And it's like, you know, it's not the most intricate play in the world. You just set a screen at the beginning of the shot clock with like 20 seconds left to get a switch for one of those two players. But the point is, like, if you have two regular size guards, I mean, you almost don't even need to, you know, set that screen because Maxey's going to have an advantage on one of them. You know, the Sixers starting lineup, there's really only one place to hide, whether that's Green or Thibault. And if Green is playing, you can hide somebody there, but you can't help off of him. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, they did a really good job isolating Van Vliet and Trent. They're kind of the two guys who you would attack. We'll see what they do tonight with all these guys out. Like, I think there will be some places to hunt. I just don't know exactly who those players are going to be at this point. Yeah, it's just like, it's really simple, good playoff offense. And when you have Harden's passing and you have Maxey's speed, it's a real problem for defense.
The Paul Reed victory parade, 11 minutes. You got a little something out of him. Did not play DeAndre Jordan. As Doc said, if it's small, we're going to go with Paul. And he did. And they were able to survive it.
Yeah, and I thought it was the good version of Paul Reed, because Paul Reed is, he's an agent of chaos, but he does that in good and bad ways sometimes. You know, like, he's the guy who always gets his hands on balls and steals and blocks, but he also, like, turns the ball over and makes some crazy mistakes on both ends of the floor. I thought he limited those crazy mistakes. You know, he had a nice block on Van Vliet, had a surprisingly good pass to Tobias Harris at the end of the shot clock on one play. What I thought was more interesting than Paul Reed playing, though, was the fact that, you know, Doc Rivers, this was Mr. All Bench for such a long time. And this was, you know, this was something that the fan base was dreading. And this was happening even in last year's playoffs. In that first quarter stint, Paul Reed, I think like 4.5 of his 5 minutes, the other four starters were on the floor with him. So he went from all bench to, okay, we got to play a backup center at some point for Joel. Fine. We're going to put everybody else on the floor with him, with Harden and Maxey and Tobias and Danny Green, and it worked. And I do think that was a good strategy. Doc said he's going to go back to it. The one worry is that their minutes are going to be pretty high.
Yeah, and that's what he said after the game, that you know, it's nice that they can be on the floor at the same time, but yeah, it does stretch their minutes. But, you know, I'm looking at what Toronto can do to compensate. So, like, what do you think he's got up his sleeve? We're all worried about all these adjustments that Nick Nurse can make. But what's he got in his bag right now?
I hope the Sixers miss shots. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And I think you did kind of see. And look, I thought the Sixers were going to win in a long series. But I do wonder if there's a chance a lot of people overthought this one, where they were talking about a coach against the two best players in the series and maybe the three best players in the series. Tyrese Maxey continues to play like that. You know, he didn't really throw any crazy defenses. He threw a 1-3-1 zone for a couple of possessions, by the way. Sixers scored both times very easily against that. I'm sure we're going to see something crazy. I just wonder, with the talent deficit and kind of how Embiid and Harden are seeing the floor, if he really has anything else. The one thing I would say is that, you know, Harden had 14 assists and one turnover. The big thing I would do is, like, I think you got to stop helping. He shot 2 of 10 from two-point range. You got to try and make him a scorer. And I think he will shoot a higher percentage. Some of that is help and him not being able to score there. That's one of the things. And then probably, like, attacking Maxey on the defensive end. But, like, this is easier said than done. And I do think, especially Scotty Barnes being out, he's kind of their glue guy. He is somebody who can play two-way basketball at a high level. It's going to be hard. I'm not sure he has anything up his sleeve. I'm very curious to see what he has.
All right. Has Tobias finally gotten the comfortability?
He was awesome. I think everybody said, is that the best defensive game or best playoff game we've ever seen? I remember he had a couple good games in that Brooklyn series. I remember a couple years ago, he might have like 30 points in one of those games. But yeah, I thought, well, the other thing he did too is like he just had like a lot of energy guarding Siakam. And Siakam made some shots against him. Like, Tobias isn't a shutdown defender by any means. But yeah, he certainly got the offensive part right. One of the other things, besides the 3-point shooting, like when Paul Reed was on the floor, I think a lot of people thought this is a series of Tobias against all these wings. I'm not sure he's going to be able to create his own shot. He created his own shot. He did it pretty easily. Super efficient game. Played well on defense. Ran the floor. Maybe he has. It was if he can play at like 70% of that game, if that's kind of your average output, again, it's like everything I keep saying, the Sixers are probably more in business.
I don't put you on the spot, but can you see 5 max in this series?
Yeah, well, if they win tonight, I mean, it's just like, all you got to do is win one up there, and then it's probably going to be 5, right? That's probably what it's going to be. I think, like, if you made me pick right now, I said 7 at the beginning. Yeah, I think I would probably pick 5 right now. That would be my guess.
All right, sounds good. Rich, always a pleasure. We'll read your stuff, and we'll have you on very shortly.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Rich Hoffman, Comcast Business Hotline, covering the Sixers for The Athletic, and he has some great breakdowns. With some photo evidence to show what he's talking about.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.